Thank you and greetings, my friends. How would you identify creature worship? Would you worship any kind of creature? Would you worship any creature? Did you know that the Bible condemns creature worship? Man has often been confused regarding the object worthy of his praise and adoration. In the great Gentile catalog of sinful deprivation revealed in Romans 1:18-32, the inspired apostle reveals the strong exposure of these degenerate people. He wrote, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him that since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even as everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse, because that, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanliness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Did it ever occur to you what happens when depraved humanity worships and serves the creature rather than the Creator? Paul answers in these words from this chapter, verses 26 to 32. The apostle presents a very heart-searching analysis of the depraved condition of fallen humanity. Listen carefully. I quote the divine declaration from God, revealed through the Spirit-directed apostle. And I want you to think of these truths as they may apply to a large segment of our degenerated society today. Hear it, my friends. Are you listening? "For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions. For their women changed the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God, that they who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them." Did you hear what Christ, by the Holy Spirit, guiding the apostle, said? "God gave them up to vile passions. For their women changed the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their own lust one toward another." My friends, I want you to observe that God considered these perverted sexual sins to be so grievous that it was said that God gave them up. Three times within five verses, the Bible says, God gave them up. God gave them up in the lust of their hearts. God gave them up unto vile passions. God gave them up unto a reprobate mind, the Bible says. Creature worship, therefore, is set forth amid some of the most grievous sins of which man has ever been guilty. As man has worshipped creatures rather than the Creator, his heart has become desperately wicked. His mind becomes less likely to think on things that are noble and good. His life becomes more corrupt. But let us examine some of the characteristics and objects of creature worship. One of the objects of creature worship is seen in the worship and service offered angels. Uniformly and consistently, God has always forbidden men to worship any of his creatures, whether they be men on earth or angelic beings in heaven. A number of times it is revealed in the Bible that angels from heaven brought instructions from God in heaven to man on earth. Without exception, creature worship and services were forbidden. Manoah, the father of Samson, desired to offer sacrifice and perform honor to the angel that announced the birth of Samson. But the unnamed angel that communed with Manoah and his wife commanded that any offering must be directed to God and not to himself. Manoah's request and the angel's uncompromising refusal to accept acts of worship are set forth in Judges chapter 13, verses 15 through 20. This is what the Bible says. And Manoah said unto the angel of Jehovah, I pray thee, let us detain thee, that we make ready a kid. And the angel of Jehovah said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt make ready a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto Jehovah. And Manoah knew not that he was the angel of Jehovah. And Manoah said unto the angel of Jehovah, What is thy name, that when the words come to pass, we may do honor to thee? And the angel of Jehovah said unto him, Wherefore askest thou after my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the kid with the meal offering, and offered it upon the rock unto Jehovah. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of Jehovah ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on, and they fell down on their faces to the ground. According to this divine record, the Creator, not his creatures, must be man's only object of holy worship. That is God's way, even though man has often perverted his way and worshipped both men and angels. The Apostle Paul dealt with angelic worship and is discussing the Colossian heresy recorded in Colossians chapter 2. He declared, Let no man rob you of your prize by voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, dwelling in the things which he hath seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. It's found in Colossians 2:18. In very clear language, Paul taught that people can lose the heavenly reward by engaging in worship of angels, which is an act of idolatry. My friends, I say, are you listening? The Bible says that adulterers will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Now you will read that in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. In this final chapter of the Bible, John affirms that idolaters, along with other wicked classes of humanity, are without, that is, lost in eternity, without God. The aged Apostle John, no doubt lonely, depressed, and desiring fellowship and encouragement, had to be corrected twice regarding the matter of worship, which was a deviation from New Testament truth. The Bible says, respectively, in Revelation 19:10 and 22:8-9, And I fell down before his feet and worshipped him. And he saith unto me, See thou not do it, for I am a fellow servant with thee and with thy brethren that hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I, John, am he that heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. And he saith unto me, See thou do it not, for I am a fellow servant with thee, and with thy brethren, the prophets, and with them that keep the words of this book. Worship God. Yes, worship God, not angels, he was admonished. Angels are created beings. They are creatures. And as such, they are not worthy of worship from God's creature, man, since man himself is a creature of God. The creature is to worship his creator. The worship of Satan is another aspect of creature worship. Satan is a creature. He is a created being. Obviously, this is true. Otherwise, he is eternal. If this were true, he would be deity and as such would be worthy of our worship. Not only is Satan a creature, but he is an evil creature. No person who has any respect for the Bible would think for a moment of affirming that Satan is eternal, that Satan is deity, that he is worthy of worship. Yet, Satan desires our worship. He desires to have a world of worshipers. It seems entirely safe to assert that more people fall into this worship of allegiance before his satanic altar than they are those who worship Almighty God before the majestic altar of God. Satan even sought worship for deity when Jesus was on earth. Satan sought to have the Creator, Christ Himself, to fall down before him, a creature. This occurred in the wilderness of Judea, when the two met in a life and death struggle for the minds of men. We read about this heroic encounter, recorded in Matthew chapters 4 and Luke chapter 4. After failures in getting Jesus to obey him, regarding the turning of the stones into bread and jumping from the high pinnacle of the temple, Satan then projected his strongest bid for the worship of allegiance of Jesus. Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their attendant glory. He then promised them all to Jesus if he would do his bidding. Satan claimed to have the power to bestow such worldly honor and power upon Jesus if he desired. The Bible says in Luke 4:6, "And the devil said unto him, To thee will I give all this authority and the glory of them, for it hath been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." The next verse contains the satanic offer. Now hear it, and I say, are you listening? "If thou therefore wilt worship before me, it shall all be thine, with total reverence for God the Father." And complete rebuff of Satan, Jesus answered, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord God thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Satan dangled the whole world before Jesus, but the price tag was too much. The Son of God was not for sale to the God of this world. Jesus knew that sin does not come at reduced rates. He knew that the sure recompense for sin is greatly multiplied penalty in the final day of all things. There was no way that Christ Jesus would renounce God the Eternal Father and worship Satan, his created being. All the kingdoms of the world were of no value in contrast to the Father and the Son relationship that existed between God and Christ. But Satan has succeeded in getting others to worship him by dangling just a few earthly pleasures and honors before them. What a price to pay! The exchange of the soul for earthly pleasures and honors. It is possible that many people worship Satan through ignorance. They worship that over which he rules as the prince of this world. Jesus himself identified Satan as the prince of this world. Near the time for his arrest and crucifixion, the Lord said of Satan, recorded in John 14:30, "I will no more speak much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me." Somewhat later, recorded in John 16:11, Jesus again called him the prince of this world, of judgment, because the prince of this world hath been judged. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them." 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 4. To the Ephesian Christians, Paul declared, "Wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience." In the lives of people who worship the world and its lust, Satan is first and God is last, if any at all. Within recent years, the worship of Satan has taken on a completely different way than in times past. In our country, there has developed a rather deeply diabolical form of satanic worship. It operates within the organized framework of religion, that of those who profess membership in the Church of Satan. The man who helped and found this movement in April 1966, Mr. LaVey, has even written what he calls the Satanic Bible. Perhaps some of you have seen copies of it. The preface page reveals how this man began to travel the road that led to high priesthood of the Church of Satan, he calls it, when he was only 16 years of age. On April the 30th, 1966, LaVey shaved his head in the tradition of ancient executioners and announced the forthcoming Church of Satan. He claimed that he saw the need for a church that would recapture man's body and his carnal desires as objects of celebration and worship. He is quoted as saying that since the worship of the fleshly things produced pleasure, there would be then the temple of the glorious indulgences. The news reports and pictures made it be exactly that way, to fulfill the lust of the hearts of men and the desires of the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that there are good people in all churches, what about the church of the devil? What about the church of Satan? How many of these worshipers of Satan, members of the church of Satan, would you call Christians and classify them as being on their way to heaven? Do you know we have been told for years that all different denominations are going to the same place? Would you say that the church of Satan would be in that group? The Bible does not teach that Christians are in every religious organization or body claiming to be religious. If so, where is the book, chapter, and verse? Where is the authority? In fact, if the Bible is taught, the world automatically must recognize the need to worship God and deny the worship of Satan. The Lord adds only to His church those who are really converted to Him, not to Satan. Only two Christians are they who compose the church of the Lord. People are they who are saved by the blood of the Lord who constitute the church of the Lord. Read very carefully Acts 2:38 and verse 41 and verse 47. Those who are added to the Lord's church are those who have obtained remission of sins by virtue of the blood of Christ through repentance and being baptized into the death of Christ for the remission of sins. The worship of Satan will mean eternal association with him in eternal Gehenna hell forever and ever. The devil belongs in hell, and obviously his worshipers will be there with him.